test. It's fine.
Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our life to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We moody, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Football fans, the College Ball Show is back. He's Marshall, I'm Chris, and we're here to break down every single solitary thing that has to do with college football. Obviously not everything. We're going to kind of stick to the interesting stuff, if you know what I mean. So we're going to get this thing started. Obviously, we're going to leave a lot of time for the prediction segment. I mean, we'll get into week two, no doubt about it. We're not going to spend a ton of time, but we do have to spend some time. There's no doubt about it. But as far as this week coming up, and by the way, Marshall, I see that you're on. I'm going to unmute you in just a second. No spoiler alerts for the Cincinnati-Houston game, okay? No updates, no spoiler alerts, nothing, okay? I got that puppy on DVR. And when the show's done, I got a couple of things to do. And I'm going to enjoy that thing, even if it is a blowout later in the game, which I don't know if it will, but we'll see. I just wanted to get that out of there. So if you're watching the, you know, if you're listening to the show, odds are you got the game on anyway, so you know exactly what the score is. But as far as this week coming up, man, we have ourselves some ball games. Number two, Florida State. Travels on the road to Louisville. They're number 10 right now. They got themselves a Heisman candidate. I'd have to say, as of right now, it's early, but I'd say he's leading the way. And just one look at his numbers tell you why. We're going to really find out just how far Louisville and their coach, now that he's off the motorcycle, we'll see how long they can go because, man, He knows how to build some good-ass teams, no doubt about it. Also, Ohio State, number 3 in the land, against number 14, Oklahoma. Oklahoma needs this win really, really bad. Obviously, both teams do. But as we know, Oklahoma already got kind of lit up in the second half from Houston, who's playing right now. Michigan State, who knows, man? There's a lot of unknowns. Especially at quarterback, the offensive line rebuilt. We know they're probably going to play pretty good defense, but kind of some unknowns there. They're going against Notre Dame. That's 12 against 18. Bama is back playing Ole Miss, and Ole Miss in September, they've had some success, man. Can they make it 3 in a row? I doubt it. Also, Texas A&M and Auburn. Going to match up there. That's a big, big game. So, I mean, there is, whether it's non-conference, whether it's, you know, important conference games like it is in the ACC, the SEC, the Pac-12, Stanford, and USC. I mean, there is a whole lot to get into, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. But obviously, we're going to lead with week two. And week two on paper, as we know, looked very pedestrian-like, right? Looked mediocre. It's as if we, you know, stepped into a time machine, a time-traveling machine, and went back in time to a time where September sucked for college football. And now we get, you know, big non-conference matchups or, like I said, to actually get some conference gains in September. That's awesome. But like I said, week two on paper, looked kind of garbage, man. It definitely did. But as we know, this is college football. This is it's a marathon sprint all in one, the college football regular season. And Central Michigan gave us such a fun miracle ending. And, of course, to add fuel to the fire, right, we had some controversy. So not only did we have an awesome play to end the game with no time on the clock, we had a ref missing a call. We also had some really close calls. No doubt about that, Georgia just somehow got by their opponent. They were actually they were a 55-point favorite. Favored by 55, the University of Nicholas, and that's the Colonials for those keeping track at home. I hadn't heard of Nicholas, maybe Nicholas State or something like that. But anyway, Nicholas, whatever the hell they want to say. Wow. Wow, that was a tight take game. Georgia really has to get that figured out, no doubt about it. So we will start with week two stuff. Like I said, you just never know in college football. And we actually got some good games. Another good game that stood out was TCU in Arkansas. That's one we went a little bit more deeper on. And that turned out to be just a blast of a game. So let's get in to some of this recap, and then we'll leave plenty of time to talk about all the big, big matchups, maybe even some games kind of under the radar as well. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Marshall. What's going on, Marshall? How you doing, buddy?
Well, Chris, I was trying to do my Howard Litter voice for you to mess with you on the Cincinnati game, just to F with you a little bit, but
don't say it.
Well,
did you hear
Chris,
me?
You know, I scored 5 points. Here's what's going on, Chris. Cincinnati's been playing pretty good. I feel like my Howard Letter reenaction, which is probably average at very best, can only be done when I'm around you in person. You know,
right.
It's like a D-, but I wanted to try, but the pressure got to me, Chris. The pressure.
I'll tell you what,
me.
Dude. Harold was in his prime talking about this guy saying he's running all over, although the guy landed like 250 punches on one of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the world. But Harold, the effect of aggressiveness, I'll tell you what, Jim, all he's doing is running around like it's a little freaking game of ring around the rosy. We're here to fight. You know, and it's just like, dude, the guy almost beat one of the best pound-for-pound guys in the world. But you call it running. It was a disgraceful Harold Letterman weekend for him. But, hey, you know, if you don't come forward, he's not going to pay attention to you.
You know, Chris, I got to say, for as much as you got me into boxing, still my favorite thing of all boxing is when I was watching the fight, and the guy's voice, after 5 rounds, I scored. but this isn't the Howard Letterman reenacting or Harold Letterman reenacting show, but I wanted to start off with that. On the football, the Oklahoma State play was nuts. I got a feeling that this could maybe be the another start of like 4 weeks in a row madness. Last year, if you listen to our show or watch college football in general, we had just a freakish span of like weird endings. Off the top of my head, I recall the incredible Duke-Miami play. I don't even know how you sum that up. And then there was the walk-off with Michigan State, Michigan, of a punt. And then there was also that an SEC game that had a field goal returned all the way back. So that's three
that's
out of four.
What was that third one? Yeah, that's exactly what
I think Auburn was involved, and they ran a field goal all the way back. Oh, no, it was it was an SEC school, not South Carolina, maybe it was anyways, but yeah, so we had a crazy week in a row. So maybe this is the span of that, Chris, of just a crazy play. And it is a walk-off. As you mentioned, realistically, it shouldn't have happened, but it did. Oh, it was the Georgia Tech against Florida State. They ran back that kickoff, insane play. I can't remember stuff, you know, from school one day, but I can remember that. Who knows? But to get on track, that was an insane play. They did a Hail Mary, which turned into like a lateral, which turned into across the whole field for a touchdown. Obviously, if you're an Oklahoma State fan, you hear the next day there shouldn't have been a dead play. Obviously, that does sting. But on the other hand, you do need to step up and not let that happen. I think ESPN, Chris, said that.
And you left him hanging around, too. You know what I mean? It's your fault for leaving him around.
I mean, yeah, you can blame the rest, but it's like, dude, you're a powerhouse team, or at least they normally finish ranked in like the mid-20s at the end of the year, or at least respectable, and you're at home, and you're playing a no-name squad. I mean, Central Michigan has had some people over the years, but they're by no means a mid-major powerhouse, and you let them hang around. And when stuff like that happens, you know what happens. So you can blame the refs all you want, but, you know, that did occur. The Georgia thing, I think maybe it's just simply having a new coach. I mean, Mark Richt was there and had a respectable dynasty, I would say. He never won a national championship, but if you compare his resume to others, and I wasn't the biggest fan of Richt, but the guy did pretty darn good job. And maybe the fact that Kirby Smart, who left Saban and Kiffin as a defense coordinator, now as the head coach, is maybe there's some little rust to shake off. Or
he left Kiffin, as if he has anything to do with it. He left Kiffin. Sorry,
well,
Kiffin
was the better assistant. You know, he left Kiffin and Saban, so I had to state that properly.
A head coaching job that Kiffin hasn't gotten just yet, and I'm just kidding.
Well, you know, Tennessee, you know, Rocky Mountain High. But yeah, so he went on, and maybe it is just kind of taking over. It would be weird. I mean, obviously, Georgia's not lacking with a player like Chubb, and like I said, they normally win 9 to 10 games every year. But you do have a new face leading the way. And I would hope maybe that's the excuse as to why they did struggle against a team where, I mean, if you hadn't mentioned Colonial, Chris, I would have no idea where Nichols is. Obviously, that tells you it's somewhere East Coast. But to Georgia fans, probably had a heart attack as well watching that game, like Oklahoma State did probably in that last play. You know, I did want to say, though, Chris, with your incredible opening, there's something that I should mention to you because I don't want to forget about this before we move on to our show. Just so you know, you are officially 1-0 on the crappy pick of the week.
Dude. My squad came in, and they were all business, dude.
The Ohio Bobcats won 37-21, so a three-point dog actually took cleaned house. They started out the game, they had a rushing touchdown, a safety, a passing touchdown, a rushing touchdown, a field goal. They let Kansas do a kick return to feel good for themselves. So at halftime, they were up 28-7, and they had almost 270 yards rushing. So Kansas, we should have bet the house on them losing as a favorite. That'll probably be the last time that happens for the next 2 years. So we mentioned the Georgia Oklahoma State, I want to congratulate you on starting the year off at 1-0. It's a good start to the season for you, bud. And if Kansas is ever favored again, I'll make sure to let you take a chance to roll the dice against that incredible squad from Lawrence, Kansas.
K-U-U. Got beat up by Ohio.
You know, overall, man, it was kind of a chill weekend. You know, I think you nailed it right in the head. Obviously, the Oklahoma State Central Michigan game kind of maybe got like the Twitter reaction and Facebook stuff with that crazy ending followed by the weird circumstances. There wasn't really any major upsets, as in like, you know, of top 10 rankings. A lot of the top 10 teams took care of business, except for actually Clemson. I'll throw this back. I guess I was giving you a little bit of a tease. I'll throw this back to you. They don't have the excuse of a new coach, and they don't have the excuse of having a new quarterback. They have a lot of the same pieces. So maybe there was just a little bit of fact of, okay, we're Clemson. We had a great year last year. We did pull out a tight game week one against Auburn. Let's try and sleepwalk. And I'm guessing that's a legit reason to explain their beating Troy by six, who certainly can sneak up on people. But, man, they did win at home. But for Clemson, a team who a lot of people have already mentioned, I know it's long down the road, but playing it for another national title, or at least contending for one, Chris, a loss to Troy at home would have been not a season-ending loss for a national title, but would have been a pretty damn big bump in the road. Because for
it would have been a season-ending. It would have been a season-ending because it's Troy. You know.
I was just gonna say, for as much as we love our football and do our show, when teams normally do lose, it normally is a conference game. Yeah, I was trying to think in my head. It would be hard to go back and find a contending national title team at the start of the year lose a non-conference game and then still compete. So maybe it would have been a dagger. They did skate by 30-24, but I was kind of having that game on my phone throughout the day, and they never seemed to pull away. So maybe Clemson had a sleepwalking side of them or whatnot. They got it done, but it wasn't exactly in pretty fashion. Them and Georgia have been a little sluggish in their first two games of the year.
No doubt about it. And it seemed like that score was stuck on 13-10 in the second and third quarter. They finally did pull their heads out and actually did, you know, manage to get up, you know, 27-10. But the last 5 minutes, you know, Troy was able to score and make it, you know, a closer game. And McLeod, Ray McLeod, had this great 75-yard punt return. However, he was trying to do his best DeSean Jackson impression because he dropped the damn ball a yard short of the end zone, and we know that's a no-no. They're sleepwalking as of right now. I did like the way DeSean Watson stood up and say, hey, you know what? I've been kind of pulled in a bunch of different ways. I got to get focused again. My whole off season, it was, you know, it's a little different. The whole Clemsoning thing is kind of in the past off of last year. And, you know, to come back, we've seen this, even though they didn't win the title, they're very close to doing that. And we've seen teams that bring back chunks of their teams, whether it be their starting quarterback, which, you know, that was the case the last 2 years. And we've seen Ohio State and Florida State just come out sluggish, and that's exactly what's going on with Clemson, except they didn't win the national title, so they got to really tighten up. They definitely got to get their stuff together. And just to put a bow on that Central Michigan game, a wide receiver from the Chippewas, right, his name is Jesse Kroll, he caught the ball, and he was a good 8-9 yards short of the end zone. And to be able to have that play figured out where he pitched it to Corey Willis and he had to cut back and leap in, that was pretty dramatic, even though it was an intentional grounding call the previous play that should have been called differently. But, yeah, I think they're just sleepwalking, much like Georgia. I don't know. I'm not sure. I really thought what kind of sticks out to me is the offense. And I guess you could say the same thing with the last 2 years, the example I gave, because it's the offense that's stumbling. And you look at the talent. I know that, you know, the offensive line is obviously very important, as we know, and that is something they did have to replace. So I don't know if it's a combination of that. But as far as, like, the running back, the wide receiver, they actually got the best wide receiver they have on the team, who had gotten hurt last year, he's back. And he made an impression right away. So, honestly, it really surprises me, Marshall, that it's the offensive side of the ball because of all the pieces back. Of course, the offensive line is the thing that makes it go, but that is really surprising. A couple other games while we're kind of scouting through some of this, because like I said, it looked like it was going to be a crappy, you know, on paper, a crappy day, but there was actually some pretty good games. We've covered a couple of them, but TCU in Arkansas was a phenomenal, fun game. Arkansas started very strong. I think they were up 13-0 at half, I believe, and they were running the ball like they like to do, playing really sound defense. TCU just wasn't able to get things going, causing, you know, having some mistake-ridden stuff too. TCU, though, got right on the horse second half, scored right away. But then you saw Arkansas kind of put up a little separation again. You thought, huh, I wonder if they'll come back. They came storming back 21-20, and then it was just back and forth that fourth quarter. Arkansas gets the big win that they really needed. It's over a ranked team that's pretty solid for them. So I thought that was a fun game. Same with that another game we mentioned, that all in-state Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh versus Penn State. That was
pretty cool.
James Conner led the way with 117 and two touchdowns. But, man, the way Pitt was up 28-7, and I actually made a joke on Twitter saying it looks like Penn State left their game in the Sandusky. I mean, the locker room. And, you know, I really thought that, wow, they're just getting blown out. But they, to be fair, that young quarterback really got them going. And it made it very interesting down the stretch. They threw a late pick in the end zone, intercepted by Ryan Lewis, a cornerback. But the big key here, Marshall, and by the way, Pittsburgh did pull it out 42-39, but the big key here was rushing. 341 yards from Pitt, and like I said, Connor led the way, but Penn State only had 74, so 341-74 is just not going to get it done, Marshall.
Oh, Chris, I have a statement to make about this game. As you mentioned, the score was 28-7. And your great co-host, partner in crime, did manage to bet Pitt -3.5. And as you mentioned, you know, when a team gets up 28-7 and they're rolling, you're feeling pretty good at 3.5 points. Unfortunately, they decided to, you know, I could take a siesta, take a nap, as we mentioned with Clemson. Maybe they did a little sleepwalking. And they did manage to win the game. But they won by 3, missing by half a point. So that was a very nice way to wrap up a Saturday afternoon jaunt. I mean, it happens. It's college football. No lead is a safe lead. Pitt did win, but a half a point is a half a point from putting money back in your bank account of gambling. So that was kind of the first. Actually, I'm not quite sure what was worse of a first loss this year. Was that loss or been on Ole Miss that first week where they looked like world beaters and they came out flat? So maybe I should just only bet first halves of games because my first half record, Chris, is remarkable. It's what happens at halftime. The gods are like, no, dude, we can't let that guy win. Let's switch it up. But on a serious note, excluding the fun we were just talking about, but in a positive light, was the James Conner guy. That dude, I started falling in love with that guy on our show, I guess, 3 seasons ago. Because to me, he wasn't a Heisman candidate, a legit one, but the dude was probably deserving of like a top 5 or 6 finish the way he ran.
Yeah,
the year.
He came
on
the dude strong
was a freak.
When he was a freshman. Yep.
He had a phenomenal season. Unfortunately, last year, he did tear his ACL, and then he got diagnosed with a Hodgkin's lymphoma, which happened, unfortunately, to a great coach, Flip Saunders from Minnesota. Rest in peace. But what I found out from when I was watching that game, they did a little more insight and coverage on the guy, was as he was going through his testing for surgery on his torn ACL, he did notice to have some troubles breathing, which led to them finding a tumor in his chest, and he's now recovered. So it is weird how, I guess, the world and God works in a way to suffer an injury that costs you a year lead to catching a tumor, which, you know, as weird as those are, who knows. And now he's back to being healthy and clean to go again. It is a very inspirational story.
Within,
not wanting to give
such
up.
Such a young man, too, you know what I mean? Like, for all that stuff to happen, it's – to a dude that's like 21, 22, that really is, man.
Yeah, you go from being a potential top 10 Heisman candidate to finish your year, to tearing your ACL, to being diagnosed with a disease that can kill you and has killed many, to now being back into playing football and looking pretty damn good. That's a that's a heck of a 3-year run for that young man. They interviewed him after the game, and you could tell the guy was just – it's like you never knew he had any diagnosis, Chris. The guy was talking happy, and he was excited for his team's win. But, I mean, you want to talk about having a captain on your team. I mean, I guess we don't know the guy personally, but I got to imagine he's probably a pretty good dude, and through all he's been through, it's nice to see him be successful back on the field, Chris.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It definitely has been interesting, and like you said, you know, very emotional up and down for that guy, but it is nice to see him, and it's very inspiring, no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get into week 3 because it's chock full of games. Real quick, though, as far you brought up Heisman. You know, it was easy to name the Heisman candidates from last year, and some of them have had good games. Some of them had pretty, you know, very good games. A couple of them have just been, you know, mediocre for their standards anyway, because obviously a couple of them, you know, put such high standards from last year's performances. I would say right now, the leading, after two games, but the leading Heisman, you know, candidate right now is Lamar Jackson from Louisville. This dude has almost 700 yards passing and 7 TDs. He's rushed for 318 yards and 6 touchdowns, total of 13 touchdowns in 2 games. And I know one of them was Syracuse, who's just real, you know, middle of the line. Another one was just a blowout, and I think all his touchdowns came in the first half in that one. But there's 105 teams that haven't scored 13 touchdowns yet. You know what I mean? So it's early. It's early.
Sure.
But right now, he's leading the way as far as Heisman, just because of his, you know, his total like video game type numbers right now. And why don't we start getting into this? And why not start?
Well,
let me
finish week 2 on a good note for you, my friend. Miami won. Your Miami Hurricanes won. Your Golden Gophers won. My Missouri Tigers won. My Trojans won. And I was just going through the scores just to double check before we move on. I have always kind of liked Washington just after watching Jake Locker. I'm not like a diehard, but I always kind of enjoy watching them play. They're actually ranked eighth in the polls. And I don't think they were ever that high even when Sarkisian was there, and they won. So all the teams we're cheering for, Chris, looked good. Now, Grant, your Gophers did win week 1, but looked a little sluggish. Missouri looked good. USC looked good despite, I think, an offensive lineman swinging at a ref, but that's how USC rolls. But, you know, I saw that on Twitter, and I didn't even read it. I was like, USC lineman, and it showed him a guy
right.
kind of swinging his arms as an official, and I said, okay, screw that. But all of our boys won, which
Mitch
Leibner, you know,
he's moving up the draft board with that performance, I'll tell you what.
I'll just say, as of last year, no wins were guaranteed for our teams, so let's just pour one back for week 2 that almost all the teams we take pride for got a W for us, because this week with week 3, who knows what might happen, Chris. Nothing's
yeah.
a safe bet this week.
Yeah, that's for sure, although the Gophers, it's a safe bet they can't lose because they got an early bye, so I mean, I guess that there's that. USC's got a big game against Stanford, though. That'll be interesting.
And so does Mizzou.
Do they? Who do they play?
Mizzou plays Georgia.
Oh, okay.
Still a little sluggish.
Right, no kidding. They're still trying to figure out their quarterback stuff. It'll be interesting to see how that goes. Let's start with some of the big marquee matchups. And I was talking about Lamar Jackson. We might as well just stay right there in Louisville. Now, we know both these guys, these coaches are very, you know, very good. Very good. Great, I'd say. And obviously, Louisville, mid-2000s and even late 2000s was strong there. And in, well, I suppose even a couple years ago, actually, now that I think about it, he kind of rebuilt them and they were very strong. Kind of like, you know, they got into the top 10 and they got that big win over Florida in that bowl game and yada, yada, yada. But in the 2000s, Louisville definitely produced a lot of talent. They were fun to watch. And now he's back. He's been back for quite some time once he, you know, because he went to Arkansas, started making, you know, started actually developing Arkansas. I mean, they actually went to some top flight bowl games and got 10 wins and all that. But obviously we know the and I'm talking about what the hell's his name? Paterno. No, not Paterno.
Paterno.
Paterno. Thank you. And you know, obviously he had that issue where he had to get fired because he was, you know, got that motorcycle accident. Was
he was having
motorcycle.
Fun.
Yeah, I guess so. Anyway, he's building them back now. Building them back. And his teams, when they're going, can score, and they usually play pretty damn good defense. So this is a big early test in the ACC, number 10 Louisville against number 2 Florida State. Now, of course, as we know, you know, my co-host knows too much on this one. He knows all too well that Chad Kelly and the, you know, Ole Miss offense was just marching it up and down the field in the first half. And you're like, wow, dude, what the hell's going on here? But then the Seminoles, they definitely, you know, tightened up defensively. The offense started to flourish. And what do you know? They got it done. Not to, you know, relive that for you or nothing like that. But this
no offense, Chris.
This is a big test here for Louisville as well. And what kind of numbers can Lamar Jackson actually put up? We don't expect him to put up 6 touchdowns or anything like that now that he's going to go against a tougher team. But, you know, the fact that the Noles may be a better equipped off their 2 games because they actually were up against a ranked team. They were down by 22 or whatever. All I know is a couple of things here. Florida State has produced 15 tackles for loss and 9 sacks in just 2 games. The only problem is they're missing a key piece. Derwin James, a safety, who's a stud. Now, they do have a really good linebacker and a defensive end that's really getting to that quarterback still, but that could catch up to them, no doubt about it. Which defense will show up right away? I think that's, you know, really crucial. Obviously, DeAndre Francois, the redshirt freshman, I'm sure he got a lot of that nervous out of his system. To me, Marshall, this is a toss-up game because we just don't know how far Louisville's come along.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Chris, besides it seems like what will be a game where they're, like, on the premier channel of ESPN on, like, a Thursday night, I don't watch them regularly. Obviously, with us being Viking supporters, you hear Teddy Bridgewater went there. But, I mean, I'd be lying if I told you I could really break in and discuss Louisville games compared to, like, maybe a USC or Bama or any other big-name school. Because they normally do happen to win most of their games, and they're a respectable school. And as you mentioned, they're going on the up and up. But, man, last year, I mean, I can't really recall much about Louisville last year, to be straight with you. And Florida State, I mean, I guess to play their side, they have a young quarterback who in the first half against Ole Miss looked like he was kind of lost. And then second half, that defense is starting causing turnovers, and bam, next thing you know, they're looking like they're a high-flying team. I guess I'd have to look at Florida State just based off the second-half momentum they had against that game against Ole Miss, because I honestly don't know much about Louisville. Clearly, you mentioned this quarterback who has been able to put him numbers, and maybe he can repeat that same thing because Florida State's defense was bipolar in a way. Chad Kelly did tear them apart. So I guess I don't really have a pick. I hope Florida State goes down. I think it'd be fun to see the number 2 ranked team in the nation go down early in the year. And clearly it shows they have some gaps and holes in their defense. But, you know, like I always say throughout the year, Chris, I hate to try and I'll never on this show maybe talk out of my butt. Like I always want to try to give insight and not make stuff up or use some like ESPN cliches. Like, well, you know, the numbers say that this missed. I don't have a really thought on Louisville at all, and I did see Florida State look really damn bad and really damn good. So it's from the numbers you've mentioned of this young guy, Louisville quarterback, I would like to think being at home, he could put up some decent numbers. Maybe I won't put money down, but maybe Louisville would be a safe bet, because if he's putting up numbers and that Florida State defense comes out flat, I don't think this guy's going to make the mistakes that Ole Miss made throughout the second half of that game, my friend.
And I'm thinking Florida State's going to just find a way to somehow sneak it out and just kind of been there, done that with some of these guys last year. You know, they did have to kind of recoup last year. Dang, what the heck did I just do? All right, sorry. So I'm going to go – I'm going to say they it's like a field goal. And they got a good – they got a really good field goal kicker. They got his brother. The guy who had been there for 4 years, forgot his last name, but they got his brother now.
Aguayo.
Good. There you go. They got his brother now, and he thinks he's got ice in his veins because he told everybody that after he hit like a 40-yard field goal, he did that, the ice in the vein, you know, the little signal for it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to see. I mean, like I said last week, I don't know, or 2 weeks ago, I don't know if I'd be popping off at the mouth just yet, being that you're a Florida State kicker, and we do know how that goes at times, no matter what. They've recruited so many good kickers, but they're, you know, they're consistently wide left. Anyway, I'm going Florida State, though. I'm going Florida State. I think they'll get it done. But I really want to see Louisville and see if they're for real this year, because the last 2 years you've seen it. Louisville actually played pretty damn well against Florida State, got up on them, lost the game, but got up on them last year up on Florida State. So, like in my – I basically – today I put in my college football picks article, and I have them literally winning 34-31. So I guess ice in his veins is going to come through. It's Pretty Ricky is what his Twitter handle is, Pretty Ricky. So just to give you an idea of what we're dealing with here, he's a true freshman, okay? He's a kicker. He's a kicker. He's not a wide receiver. He's a kicker, dude. This guy's hilarious. Anyway, you know how the Showtime does the season? They did Notre Dame last year. They got Florida State this year. So just a heads up. That's a good show. I really like that show. Let's keep it moving. Now, Alabama got it done last week, but
Roll Tide.
Saban did not like what your boy was doing. He was all up in his ass.
He was all up in his ass, dude.
He was just screaming up and down the sidelines. And he didn't like what was going on. He thought it was a little nonchalant. And so I don't know what the hell, if Kiffin's out or what. He may have gotten fired this week. We don't even know. But the coach is getting them ready. Okay, now we know the last two meetings, Ole Miss has been a Bama killer of sorts. You know what I mean? They have these crucial plays on both sides of the ball. Just random scores, you know, like off the helmet. Oh, he got a touchdown. You know what I mean? That type of stuff. And my thing is, though, here's two things that really stand out to me, Marshall. One, 3 years in a row, what's the odds? Slim to none, if you ask me.
Not good. Yeah.
Not good. Not good at all. However, and here's the other part of it, Ole Miss already has a loss. They've seen their potential in that first half. Could react like an animal when their back is against the wall or against the tree, to put it in the jungle, I guess. So you're dealing with the emotional young player. Maybe they put it all together and get it done, but I just don't see it. I know it's at Ole Miss. It's in Mississippi, but just you and I have been around sports a lot, and just mentioning – Just literally mentioning 3 years in a row is a good enough reason not to pick them to win this game.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, to sum that up, Chris, that might be my short take. No, I mean,
getting his ass chewed on the sidelines. Is that what you're telling me?
It is funny because a good girl I'm friends with back home. We kind of became friends over the fact that she was a Bama fan. She actually went to school there, and she knows I love Kiffin. So she texted me this week, and she's like, "Did you see Kiffin yell at your boy?" I'm like, "Or Saban yell at your boy?" I'm like, "Oh God, what happened now?" And she just mentioned how Saban was pissed off in a press conference and was yelling at Lane, and I was like, well, you know, they are the odd couple, but they do find ways to get wins as well. So no shock to me, but, you know, it's just they go through some rough periods. They'll shake it off.
Just lighten
it off, you know.
Lighten his ass up.
Hey, you know Lane was kicking back with a drink in his hand, just saying, calm down, Nick. We'll work this thing out. Don't worry. I got you. I'm drawing up plays to help win us more games. So, man, those two truly are something else.
Well, I think he raised his hand, you know, before the play, and then there was like a pick. So they're like, dude, stop raising your damn hand because you know you're going to score. Remember when he'd do that? He put his hands up
before
the play.
Hey, when he was raising his hands last year, his raising hand ratio to touchdown ratio was pretty damn good. His raising hand meters was a 10 for 10 most of the time. Maybe not so much this time. But I'm with you, man. I remember last year when we were talking about Georgia against Bama. People on ESPN were like, the ESPN pick meter gives Georgia a 49% chance. And we're like, and Saban's team had a bad – oh, they lost to Ole Miss. Actually, on those flukish plays. And it's like, okay, dude, calm down. This is Bama. And again, you know, how often can you roll the dice and, you know, keep getting craps at the craps table and not get craps? Like, it's tough. Because, okay, Ole Miss did look great that first half, but that second half, I mean, it literally was like, you know, a house burnt the fire, or a fire burnt the house. I mean, it was nothing.
Yeah.
Chad Kelly went from looking smooth to a fumble, an interception that bounced off a receiver's hands. The defense became a sieve. And I would say, Chris, from what we've seen from Bama so far this year, that if you had that kind of half in a game that was at a mildly neutral side of Florida State, I don't think Bama's going to let you allow that. And my last point I'll say is, and when I was discussing how I'd kind of cheer for Chad Kelly, some of my boys were giving me shit about it. It's like, you know, I was going to say was, well, did you expect him to beat Florida State? And my only answer was, well, they had a lot of guys go pro. 4 years ago, when we did our show, I remember finishing the show saying, wow, Ole Miss has a recruiting class. And, you know, Treadwell and Kimbiche and a lot of those guys are now in the NFL. So as good as Ole Miss has been, you really can't replace 4 to 5 NFL players, Chris, off 1 year. I don't care how good you are. You don't replace people like that unless you are maybe a Miami back in the day or an Alabama currently or, you know, or USC or Florida.
They've had some issues, too, where they lost some recruits of late, too, because they've had those things. They're going to have things, you know.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can't just be replacing bodies left and right when they're cashing checks in, you know, so. I like old Alabama. I do see they're an 11-point favorite on the road, which is, I would say, a little steep, but maybe that's Vegas saying, okay, we saw you, Ole Miss. We saw what happened that second half. Bama ain't going to screw that up. And I'm sure Kiffin's got some plays ready. You know, Chris, he's probably been punished and yelled at and told, we better be looking good this week. No throwing your hands up unless he's in the end zone. Let's get going. So maybe that a fire and motivation from Saban is going to make Kiffin be sharper this year to take down Ole Miss. I'm with you. If we do a show next week and Bama loses, I think that can lead off our show. I think that would be a surprising factor, barring something crazy or an injury.
Yeah, not to say that it can't be a tight game or whatever, but I just don't see it. And they have end rushers this year that they normally don't because they usually have those big, stout 3-4 defensive linemen. They actually got some edge rushers this year, which is a little bit new. You could see slowly but surely the last couple of years took a little weight off his linebackers. You know, that
almost
spread
not
offense
even fair.
The spread offense started to take advantage of Alabama's bigness, the largeness, and they've made some adjustments. They've made some adjustments. So now they got edge rushers too, which is pretty damn scary, like you mentioned. Speaking of some big games here, number 3 Ohio State, they go into enemy territory, into Norman, in Oklahoma, who's 14, who in the second half, I mean, they're still probably licking their wounds from getting that second half beatdown from Houston, no doubt about it. Ohio State is one of the most talented teams in the nation, However, they're young and dumb. Although, you know, they're very experienced at the quarterback position, which obviously has a chance to stabilize them something. I'd say both quarterbacks are in the similar realm as far as they can run and they can pass. One thing I saw, though, was Oklahoma. Off of that Houston game, Oklahoma got basically zero push on their offensive line. And I think the running game in this one will likely decide the winner, man.
Well, hey, if you're new to our show, pick Ohio State to win a game this year, because I'm not an Urban Meyer fan. I think he's an awful guy, but I'll save that rant for another day. So I will pick Oklahoma. But as you mentioned, if Oklahoma's line struggles, that is kind of you just mentioned, Chris, kind of wrapping up Alabama about how Saban always finds big bodies. I would say the same thing for Meyer. As much like the guy, if you want someone to coach your football team, he seems to find people that control the line of scrimmage, and he seems to find defensive freaks. You don't think much of DBs per se with Meyer, but that defensive line is normally deadly. So you are kind of looking for some trouble. I do see Oklahoma's a 2-point favorite, 1.5-point favorite, so they're expecting something close. But, man, early season, start of the year, Oklahoma kind of got whacked by Houston. You'd assume Saban will have their boys going, Meyer will have the guys going. I don't want to win, but I do think Ohio State wins, Chris. Normally Ohio State always has those two games start of the year against some powder puffs, and that's it. And now they're kind of rolling, so they got their two easy ones out of the way, and now it's time for them to buckle down. And, oh, wow, I'm using the Scores app just to go through games, and it says that they're 18-0 on the road with Meyer. So the road doesn't scare them much. So I don't want to say it, but I'll just say this politically. I don't think Oklahoma wins. That way I'll avoid saying the evil curse words. I don't think OU wins. I'm becoming a politician, Chris.
Yeah, boy, Texas. I thought Texas is the opposite of freaking being, politically correct. I thought you just said we do everything big up in this mother effort.
Everything is different down here, Chris. Trust me. We'll save that for another show, too. Texas, people do stuff down here how they want to do it. I'll just say that.
You got your gun yet?
Not yet. No, not yet.
Shoot, you better have a variety, sucker. Anyway, I got a 38-34 Ohio State getting it done. I think their running game is going to be the difference, man. If you can't get push, good luck with that. And like I said, you can't really speak to a that much more talented team. They're just young and dumb. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Speaking of Ohio State running backs, dear God, Chris, I went to my first ever Cowboys game last week. He can go back to Ohio State. Can we redraft someone? Dude, you can't even get 2 damn yards behind the Cowboys offensive line.
Because he can't show his six-pack, dude. That's why he can't show his six-pack, man. They won't let him tuck
it. He's going to be drinking beer, getting a six-pack from the way he is. That was embarrassing. Come on. You're the fourth pick of a draft, and you can't get more than a couple. I'll stop. But
what
go
did
back
get, like,
to Ohio State for another year
or something like that. Wasn't it like 49 on? It was low.
It was atrocious. I think he had 1 7-yard touchdown run, but you and I could have ran through the hole. You know, it was sad. I'll stop. But man, did he looked like a rookie, a true rookie that night.
Well, they can't all be like apes, even though they try to say to every running back that comes out every year, this one right here, he could be AP.
True.
This one right here, he could be. This one right now, though, there's only one AP. Let's keep it moving, though. Michigan State, man, you just don't know what they have. They got a new offensive line. They got a new quarterback. We did get a chance, like a preview last year. They actually, one of their biggest wins was with the backup quarterback, now that I think about it. But Michigan State, we know they're going to be pretty solid on defense. I'm not going to sit there and rank them. It's too early in the season anyway to get a real feel on everything, you know, for teams anyway. But this one comes down to running the damn ball. They need to run the ball. And obviously Notre Dame, they're going to put up some points. The only problem is the secondary for Notre Dame, they look shaky as hell against Texas. And let's be honest, Texas a year ago wasn't known for offense. You know what I mean? They were an ugly offense, actually. They were really, you know, they just weren't – they didn't have much going on. And I know they're different. I know they have a new quarterback and they got a guy back and they got some, you know, Strong's building them up. But, man, it just seemed like Texas could just have their way with their defense, which is a little surprising. I think the key here, Marshall, is DeShone Kizer, man. He's the real deal. He's shown it time and time again last year. He showed it week one. To me, I talk about the Notre Dame secondary like, man, they were getting burnt. However, who does Michigan State have at quarterback or wide receiver that they can chuck the ball deep anyway? And that's why that run is so crucial, because if they're not effective in the run, they're not going to be able to do play action, and that's a lot of knots. So I got Notre Dame winning 27-20 in a good game, but this middle-of-the-country matchup, it's flying under the radar because we just don't know what Michigan State team we got. Are they a little overrated at 12? Or maybe they got the quarterback stuff figured out. I just don't know. So I'm going Notre Dame on this one.
Yeah, again, like I mentioned, I don't want to talk about teams I haven't seen. I did watch the whole Notre Dame-Texas game. And the reason I kind of did like Texas to win throughout that game was because they controlled the line of scrimmage. Notre Dame's defensive line looked pretty bad. But maybe that is more of a props to Texas's linemen than just saying, you know, screw the Notre Dame D-line. And maybe Texas is legit this year, so it's hard to say. Michigan State, I mean, Cook is gone. But as you mentioned, they normally always have a pretty respectable D. Them, Wisconsin, Ohio State normally always bring it defensively. But I've seen nothing from Michigan State, so it's hard to predict. I guess the only thing I can really base this off of, Chris, is the last, like, 2 to 3 years – every big game that Notre Dame has played, and maybe I could be wrong if I did some Google research, but I really don't recall them ever getting blown out. If it's a close game, like they came back against Clemson last year, Notre Dame normally doesn't get blown out on many big games. And
that's true. That's a good point.
I mean, and a couple.
Why would they start now?
And 3 or 4 years ago, when Michigan State beat Notre Dame, they ran and stuck their flag out in the center of the Notre Dame field. So I don't know if Notre Dame will consider Michigan State their biggest rival, but these teams definitely hate each other. When you go sticking your flag on someone else's field after a game, I mean, it's a rivalry.
It's a family show.
Every year.
Okay, don't be talking about going and stick your flag anywhere you want it, okay? It's a family show, Marshall. Man, Texas really changed.
Like I said, man, Texas is changing, Chris.
Yes, sir.
We're
a little bit more blunt down here.
Yeah, you know, it is what it is. But, I'll avoid sticking flags in random places. But, Notre Dame seems to bring it for primetime games. So I'm going to pick them just because I've seen nothing from Michigan State yet at all. So tough to predict. But, yeah, we'll go with that for now, and that'll be kind of a nice preview. Because Go ahead. I'm done.
Well, I was
going to
say,
I got one for you.
And this is another crucial SEC game, you know, for this early in the season, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about this that really you want to keep your eye on if you're a college football hardcore like we are. As we know, the Aggies have been plagued with not getting over the hump, having an issue in September after usually week one or week two, I think it's been week one, where they just look dynamite. You're just like, wow, yep, I think they're back. holy crap, you know. But then they go on a downward spiral. Now, they didn't all the way tailspin as much as they had 2 years ago. They did actually calm it down, and actually I did see them build back. But they never duplicate that lightning in the bottle. They never capture that again. Here they are against Auburn, who, 2013 runner-up, but they hung with Clemson in week one. I mean, they even had a chance to win it in the closing seconds via Hail Mary. So, I mean, this is a big, 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 big SEC West showdown, man. And I think whoever wins this game, Marshall, it's really going to give them confidence as they go through this, this SEC West, man. How do you see this one playing out? I have the score, and it's at Auburn, too, which we know to go nuts there, obviously. Everybody in the SEC does, in college football, pretty much everywhere. But I got A&M. Right. Yeah, trying to make up excuses for my squad coming down there and kicking the snot out of them. Sure. 31-30. I got A&M getting over the hump this year and getting it done 31-30. That's my pick, and I'm sticking to it. This is going to be huge for Kevin Sumlin, though. Actually, both these coaches, if you think about it. This is a big game, man. And like I said, you got one ranked team and you got Auburn. But to me, this is an equal matchup. And I really want to see how A&M comes out this year. Are they going to get over the hump?
Well, I mean, after losing four quarterbacks in the offseason and then having to trot out someone new, I would say that Texas A&M has their hands full. You clearly don't have your top dog if you're on option number five. But as you mentioned, A&M's hot.
Not to interrupt you, but they did get a transfer in last year, so he's been here for a year, and he played.
True.
Oklahoma let him go. So he's a very experienced quarterback, actually. Maybe not in this system.
Yeah.
They've recruited too many good quarterbacks, man. Everybody's like, oh, I'm not going to get to play. Oh, that guy's playing now. Screw it. And they all left.
Yeah, there's something goofy going on there. But aside from that, and as you mentioned, they've had hot starts. They've started out 5-0 the last 2 years. That's pretty damn good because, I mean, if you're in the SEC, you might get two freebies, but after that, it's game on. And actually, to A&M's credit, they normally do schedule a very tough opponent for non-conference. I know last year they played Arkansas and someone tough the year before, so. It's not a joke of a 5-0 start, but I like Auburn. They took Clemson to the wire, and I would say I believe that Clemson's probably just as good or better than A&M. And I just want to see A&M kind of maybe step up and get another respectable win. I mean, in my mind, they're ranked 17th, but they're also an underdog on the road. That's not a huge shock, but. In my mind, this is pretty evenly matched game to play out, Chris, and I'm taking Auburn just because they're the home team. And let's see what A&M has. I mentioned Ole Miss has lost a lot of pro talent the last couple of years. A&M, for the last, 5 or 6 years, it seems like they've always had a super stud that's going to go to the pros. I haven't heard a name about that yet. Now, maybe I haven't done my homework yet, but I don't think this is quite as loaded of a team as A&M normally has. But they're ranked 17th, so something's got to give. Either I'm wrong, or maybe the ranking's a little bit high. But I think this week will be a good test. If you can walk into Auburn, I don't care, if they're not ranked or ranked at all. It's not an easy place to win.
They should be on the up cycle too. As their plan, they should be on the up and up too. I will say this though, they still have that defensive end dude who's a stud, and they still have three or four wide receivers. That all of them are studs. I know one of them stands out, but they got studs, dude. They still got studs.
Yeah, their DNs are nothing to ever be ashamed of. We will talk about them throughout the whole year because A&M's DNs are always good. Since Von Miller, every guy they seem to have out there is causing havoc and wreaking hell on quarterbacks. So that's a very fair point. But just to mix it up and pick different teams for, I think, the first choice tonight – I'll go with Auburn getting the win. I just happened to see LSU, who clearly, you know, started the year off with a hiccup against Wisconsin. Just to continue with SEC, does play Mississippi State at home. Speaking of the Cowboys, Mississippi State's quarterback Dak Prescott is leading the way, so they kind of have a new program. LSU's favored by 2 touchdowns. I'd expect an LSU win. And to talk a little bit about Mizzou, because they're playing a relevant opponent this week. It's not a huge game, but they play Georgia. Mizzou's got a sophomore quarterback who's still learning the ropes of how to be a legit quarterback. In Georgia, I think they do have pressure on them. Despite a new coach, you have Chubbs as running back, who appears to be healthy again, that could be a possible Heisman candidate. You mentioned at the start of the show, Louisville's quarterback is in there. I think Chubbs has potential to be, so it'll be kind of a nice test for Missouri. They looked very flat week one against West Virginia. They mopped the floor against Eastern Michigan, and now they got to play Georgia. And Georgia's should be a legit team. They're ranked, and they maybe came out a little sluggish, but it's nice to see your team in conference play a good opponent, Chris, kind of like when the Gophers, per se, would face like an Iowa or a Wisconsin. It's kind of a game to get up for. So win or lose, it'll be nice to watch Missouri, a team I've always rooted for after my best friend went to school there for a year, to see how they look with a good true test.
Yeah, that's a good call. And Miami is taking on Appalachian State, who we know is not a joke. They are not a joke team. They almost beat Tennessee. You could make an argument that they should have. And they've also had a foundation there as that second-tier football. They've been damn good. They've been, like, knocking on the door for quite some time. So I think that's going to be a tough game. I definitely think that's going to be a tough game. A couple of games just I'm going to mention for the hardcores to keep an eye on. Duke Northwestern, not the teams they've been, however, still should be a very competitive game. I mentioned USC and Stanford. We'll see if USC can bounce back. That's a key game. Another West Coast game, UCLA and BYU. And I've had BYU in all three of my hardcore barn burner. That's what I call it, the barn burners for the hardcores. And last week they didn't disappoint. They lost the heartbreaker 20-19 to Utah. So I'm picking them in the barn burner again. I'm picking tonight's game in the barn burner as well, Houston and Cincinnati. And do not screw that up for me, buddy. Do not screw that up, though.
Well,
but UCLA,
Chris, you know,
BYU,
I scored 6-5.
In Texas, going on the road to Cal. Cal already has a loss this year, but we'll see if Texas can keep their head on straight after getting that big, big win in week one in the clutch. Otherwise, here's another one I got categories called against the spread, right? Where I have to pick someone against the spread. And I'm picking the University of Ohio to cover as a 27.5 underdog versus Tennessee, because I'm banking on the Volunteers to play to the level of competition for a little bit. So I'm going back to back Miami, and I'm not talking about that Miami. This doesn't have a FAL next to it. This is Ohio. This is middle of the country type stuff. Couple other games that those are just some games to keep an eye on. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I got one that for sure is worth mentioning that if people have watched ESPN game day, and I know that because I did live in the city for the last 4 years of my life, and I did go to the opposing college for college, and I also got my degree from this school, but it's North Dakota State. If you're an SEC fan, you probably haven't heard of them, but this team has won the division below Division I football's national title 4 years in a row. And they're the North Dakota State Bison. They go to Iowa this week, and Iowa's ranked 13th, which is, I want to say, about as high as Iowa's been ranked starting off the season in a very long time, Chris. So it might look on paper like, oh, Iowa's playing some team from North Dakota. That some team is a team that basically has won probably almost their last like 55 out of 63 or 4 games. It's a legit team. Nothing Iowa should look past. They play in Iowa this week. There's not a lineup here. I'd have to do a little digging for that because they're a different league.
And
but
the high draft pick is another player that maybe is more recognizable to the people. You know, the Philadelphia quarterback.
Yeah.
We had a very good one game one.
Yeah. Carson Wentz went to North Dakota State. I mean, again, you don't hear about him as much, but I bet a true college football fan might have heard or seen him. They've been on game day. ESPN's pregame show, 2 out of the last 4 years, I believe, and they've gone to Fargo, and the ESPN crew loved it. So it's a legit football team. Maybe they don't get the Alabama recruits, but I don't care. You win 4 national titles in a row at a respectable rate. I mean, you're doing something right.
Yeah.
So I would not be surprised at all, Chris, and this is no slap in the face to Iowa. But if North Dakota State won this weekend, they beat the Gophers for 5 years, 5 years ago, when they started kind of this trend.
Why you gotta bring that shit up, dude?
They beat Kansas State. They beat Iowa State. Basically, any team in the Midwest they've played in Division I, they've beat. And I would say this is probably their toughest opponent. Not that K-State 2 years ago was a joke by any means, but they're for real. So if you're listening to our show and you're like, why the hell is this guy talking about North Dakota State just because he lived there? It's not that. This team, them farm boys can play. They truly can. So if we start off next week with one of our first games being Iowa goes down to North Dakota State, I mean, I guess I do have to call it an upset, but I won't be talking like, oh, my God, I can't believe it happened. It's like, nope, they took down another – Big Ten or Big 12 Midwest team. It won't be a joke. So that is something that ESPN would probably maybe have in the bottom line ticker if that game stays close.
Yeah, ESPN
and honestly, too,
at noon or at noon Eastern is when that game's
okay,
on. ESPN too. They don't have a number for it. They don't have a number listed for it. So I don't know what
I'd have to look for it because You can find it. It's not on the – but they do have it. I'll have to dig into it. It's a shame I don't have it right now in front of me. But, pay attention to that game. If you like college football, enjoy upsets, you heard it here. I know not many people talk North Dakota State, but they're good. And lastly, I'll say this. It's not so much to them, the star players. It's the fact that every guy they get fits into the system and does his part. You don't see showboating.
And they're red-shirted, you know. A lot of them are red-shirted.
Yeah.
They always have older veteran guys ready to take over.
Yeah, whatever system they've established, it's a darn good one. So we'll see. I will not be shocked if Iowa goes down. I'm not taking shots
right.
at Iowa.
I
agree, they seem to beat every D1 team they play. So that could be a very fun game to watch this kick off your morning. Along with Tennessee,
a couple other
Ohio,
ones real quick, not to break you up, but
yeah.
Pittsburgh and Oklahoma State is another one to keep an eye on. And also East Carolina, another team that is not in a big conference. South Carolina isn't really all that good anymore. So don't be surprised if the Pirates come in to South Carolina and get it done. South Carolina right now, 3.5-point favorite. The old Gopher quarterback found a home, and that is East Carolina, who's actually put up some like a lot of numbers, and just a fun team that I've kind of tracked while I do my articles. They usually have a quarterback that just puts up numbers, and Philip Nelson is that guy right now. Let's start
fun teams, Chris. Speaking of fun teams, here's a team that you and I love. We adopted them as our family last year, and I'm sure after I say that, you know who I'm talking about. The crappy pick of the week, I got to do it. It's a no-brainer. These became our boys. I don't even know if it's a crappy pick. Maybe it's just one of our weekly picks. The game of the crappy pick of the week this week, we're going to the Sun Belt Conference. Chris, We're going down
strong south. Strong conference.
Dude, they're legit. They play good football. And now one of the teams that is involved in this game is South Alabama. I'm sure you've heard of them. Ooh. I believe they're the Jaguars. And they are going to the one and only, Louisiana Lafayette Raging Cajun Field, baby. You're back on the map with your Raging Cajuns, Chris. They're a 3-point favorite. They started the year off, I believe, 1-1. So a bump here and a bump there and a good win. Crab pick of the week, the South Alabama Jags against the Raging Cajuns at our home away from home. We might have to host a show from Lafayette one year if we can ever arrange. Dude, it would be something. It'd be fun to do a podcast from Cajun Field to truly embrace the show that we love.
Dude, I'll tell you what, I got a couple of things to talk about that. First of all, when I look at the ESPN page on it, it says USA. So how the hell can I go against my own country? Oh my God, this can be tough. Here we go. This is one of my favorite parts to see how shitty the offenses are. And we got ourselves
Do that every time.
Oh man, it's great. So USA, is coming in averaging 15 points a game. Okay. Now, to their credit, they only give up 22. So in this game, they're like Tampa Bay, you know, circa early 2000s. Considering. Now the Raging Cajuns, they're putting up 20 this year, so they're on the up and up on offense. They're putting up 20, but they're giving up 33.5. Well, that's not good. Look at this. Oh, my God. What are they, the Jags? South Alabama Jags have been missing out head-to-head against Alabama on the defensive line because they give up 271 freaking yards on defense. Oh, my God. That's just rushing yards. We're not even talking about, but you know what's funny? The other side of it gives up 345 passing yards. So what gives? Truly, what gives in this game? Wow. Man, this is a good one. Okay.
It is on ESPN3.
See, dude? This is a big game. It's a big game. So here's the deal. You cannot, as we know, you cannot just walk on in to Cajun Field.
No, sir.
The Raging Cajuns, it says it right there in the name. So I'm going, what's the damn spread? Do we got a spread? 3?
Yeah, Lafayette, the Raging Cajuns are -3. They're getting, basically Vegas is saying it's a pick 'em. We'll give the home team 3 and see what happens.
They're going to, our squad, the Lafayettes, I'll call them. I know they're the Raging Cajuns. Going Louisiana. I'm going to say Louisiana is just going to run the frickin' ball down their throat, hold the thing, hold, and win this damn ball game. Louisiana.
I love it.
Running game, baby. That's how they do in the South, right? You just run it up the gut. Oh, wait, that's Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
That's Big Ten, 3 yards, and a cloud of dust, actually. So, yeah, that's where we're at, man. That's where we're at. I'm going 2-0, baby. I can feel it.
We might have to pick a Raging Cajun game every week and have our crappy pick of the week. It might be our adopted team, and every week we give our Raging Cajuns a little bit of hype. I can find a way to put that into our show prep, Chris.
Well, they play in it, you know, that Sun Belt. It's not easy to find horrible teams in the Sun Belt, so you may have a problem there. Because I heard that they're going to come together in the AAC and just come together and be a Power 6 conference. That's just what I heard. I don't know if that's true, but I heard that. they're either picking Houston to get in the Big 12 or they're going with the Louisiana. They're stuck on that right now. They're stuck on that.
Well, Houston best know it. If they join Sunbelt, dude, you ain't walking in a Raging Cajun. I don't care if you beat OU. It's Raging Cajun land. You know, it is what it is.
Dude, just based off the attendance number in the gate, you got to bring in the Cajuns. obviously. We're down to less than 2 minutes before the cutoff, so
okay,
keep that in mind.
I was just gonna say, for USC, I'm a little scared. We've had a couple of rough moments, and Stanford seems to be legit. So, if memory serves, last year we can't tackle McCaffrey. I don't know if we'll tackle him again. I think the Trojans might have their hands full. I know you mentioned that game. I just wanted to say this would be the game that USC wins, but then we lose the next week. But it will be fun to watch them play Stanford, even though
– that's a barn burner.
Like,
that's a good game.
It seems like Stanford always beats us for the last – since Kevin Shaw's been there. So fight on, but that might be a tough one. But, hey, this was a fun show. This was honestly one of the most fun shows I think we've ever done. Maybe it's because I'm down here in Texas and I'm losing my filter and I'm throwing flags and sticking flags everywhere. And, you know, this show's getting out of control and we're breaking down our occasions. But we'll be back next week. We might have to do two shows next week with all the great games Chris and I previewed. We didn't even get to all of them. We might do a double show.
Yeah, maybe
Monday.
Monday night.
Yeah. And I don't have a game that night, so if we can make that work. We enjoy the listeners. Again, this is one of the most comical, fun shows we've had in a long time, so please listen and tell your friends to come listen. Chris and I will be back next week. Enjoy all the games Saturday. Please cheer on our Cajuns. Stay out of trouble. Have a good weekend, and take care. We'll be back soon. Peace.